Please, is there anyone that would like to volunteer for, to give our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers? I'll say the prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day, Lord. We ask that you watch over each and every person that's here in this courtroom today, every family that's represented. Ask, Lord, that you would guide over each and every one of us as we make decisions, that those decisions would be to your honor and glory. But ask, Lord, that you would remind everyone how great this country truly is, and we show the respect that this country deserves that you have so graciously given. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Nobody knew it. Let the record reflect that all members of court are present this morning. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our court agenda.
Move.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, proclamations and resolutions. I see we have a large 4-H contingent this morning, so if y'all are ready, go ahead. Good morning. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have our County Council President,
thank you,
Gabby
very much.
Pena, here to read the proclamation, and then Caroline and I have a few updates and highlights to give you of our 4-H year.
Good morning. Thank y'all very much.
Hello, everyone. Whereas the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court is proud to honor the 4-H Youth Development Program of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service for 110 years of providing experience-based education to youngsters throughout the Lone Star State. And whereas this admirable program, which seeks to provide a learning experience for the whole child, including head, heart, hands, and health, helps young Texans to acquire knowledge, develop life skills, and form attitudes to enable them to become self-directed, productive, and contributing members of our society. And whereas it's more than 550,000 urban, suburban, and rural youth ranging in age from 8 to 19, hail from diverse ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds, and truly represent a cross-section of the state. And whereas the program undoubtedly could not have achieved the success that it has today were it not for the service of its more than 22,000 volunteers who have given generously of their time, talents, energies, and resources to the youth of Texas. And whereas, throughout its proud history, the 4-H program had developed positive role models for countless Texans, and through its innovative and inspiring programs to build character and to instill the values that have made our state strong and great. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Montgomery County Commissioners Court hereby designates October 1st through 7th, 2017, as National 4-H Week in Texas, and commend the 4-H Youth Development Program of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service and the many men and women who have made the program a success.
Thank you, Gabby. Do you want to go first? The first thing I'd like to do is get all the tall ones to scoot to the edges. And all
I am
those
back
that
here
are
now.
A little bit challenged.
Let this one stay right here. Let him stay right there.
Yeah, Seth, let's get kind of in between them. And that way we can get a picture of the commissioners and you. Thank you. First of all, we are proud to announce that our enrollment for 2016-2017 4-H year was up with 1,035 4-H members enrolled in 25 4-H clubs. And in just the first 45 days of our enrollment this year, with Harvey and everything else, we still already have 50% of last year's members re-enrolled. So we're on track to be have even higher numbers for 17-18. The Montgomery County 4-H members have maintained a high standard of success. There's been a heavy representation at the state and national level, and here's just a few of our highlights. In addition to the numerous awards in the show ring with livestock projects, 4-H members are making their mark on a variety of contests at the major livestock shows, including San Antonio. We had Reserve Champion Boys Lewis Class Trap, which is a shotgun event. We also had the third place open boys trap, and two of those shotgun team members won $10,000 scholarships
wow.
through that competition.
Great.
At Houston, we had a fifth place junior public speaking contestant, and that little girl is 9 years old and stood up in front of a room full of people doing a presentation on something related to agriculture and public speaking. We had the first and second place in our Food Challenge Junior Heat, and those kids advanced, and one of those teams received third place Food Challenge Junior overall. And we had second place Junior Robotics, Ag Robotics Contest. It was Houston's first year to hold that contest, and we took five teams. We also hosted Big Time in D9 this year, which is our District 4-H Roundup, a roundup of all kinds of contests. We brought over 600 participants from around the 18 counties in our district to the Lone Star Community College for that event. And with Caroline and Rachel's hard work, 116 of those and several of the ones in front of you were 4-H members. We're Montgomery County 4-H members. So we had 116 participants at that event just from Montgomery County. 42 of those advanced to our state competition where they placed well with a first place archery senior, second place archery intermediate, third place health educational presentation, second place senior wildlife challenge team, second place intermediate wildlife challenge team, third place intermediate wildlife challenge individual. So third place in the whole state in wildlife challenge. And on top of that, we had five students bring home $58,000 in scholarships from the Texas 4-H Foundation Scholarship Program.
Amazing.
We had one member on the state shooting sports team. Texas won national again, so maybe we'll be back in February with that big ginormous trophy again. We have three state 4-H shooting sports ambassadors, one state 4-H livestock ambassador, one state 4-H horse ambassador, and one state 4-H water ambassador. One of the gentlemen here today, Kyle did, I'm sorry, on the state outdoor challenge, and we had one second place senior male team at state outdoor challenge. And we had the first place intermediate co-ed team and the high point overall. So the intermediate team, co-ed team beat the seniors and the other intermediates. District 4-H Council, Gabby Pena is our County 4-H Council president, but she was elected to delegate at large for District 9. So she's representing Montgomery County and District 9 4-H on State 4-H Council. And Texas 4-H Dog Show, seven exhibitors with 10 dogs brought home 16 first place ribbons, in addition to Best Non-Purebred in Show, Best Junior Handler, and High Point Senior Overall. And we had several participate in the State 4-H Horse Show. So we still have the largest shooting sports project in the state. We still have the largest dog project in the state. And with our 4-H program assistant, Rachel Cooper's leadership, the robotics project is growing by leaps and bounds. She has an introduction meeting tonight and is fully expecting to fill the Master Gardener building large room, getting that kicked off. We do want to thank you for your support of our program and making it possible for us to provide these educational programs for Montgomery County. With that, I'll turn it over to Caroline and let her give you the updates on the other half.
Hey, I got one question.
Yes, sir.
What is the wildlife challenge? What does that involve?
Did you do that one? Can you give him heads up on that one?
So the wildlife challenge, there's three different scenarios. There's three different components of it. There's scenarios, there's identification, and then there's questions about items and stuff. And so you just walk around and do all of those, and it's really fun.
Okay, good.
Good deal.
Well, good morning. My name's Caroline Cruz. I'm your Urban Youth Development Extension Agent with the 4-H program. Just a couple of other things. Some of these are similar to what Michelle mentioned. A little more detail on a couple of those contests. We had four teams that participated in a contest called Duds to Dazzle at our District 4-H Roundup. That was at Lone Star College. That was 17 youth that did that team contest. We had a really big show up with our food challenge contest, which is kind of like Chopped, those type of shows that you see on Food Network, but it's a team of kids. So it's really fun, really interactive. We had 10 Montgomery County teams that participated in that, and that was 42 youth out of those 10 teams. We had 24 members that did the robotics contest alone. We had, like she mentioned, at the Houston Livestock Show, we had four teams, and that was the maximum amount of teams that we could send to do the food challenge, so we had a really good showing there. For our state 4-H roundup, we had members that participated, 57 total, so that's a few more that went for contests. They also went for workshops and other type of opportunities. We had just a couple of those. I'll tell you some of the results. We had ninth place in the fashion show. We had two robotics challenge teams, seventh place and a 12th place, so this is overall in state. We had a fifth place food challenge team. Some of those members are here this morning. A seventh place food challenge team as well. A fourth place Duds to Dazzle team, and the third place educational presentation. For some of the other programs we're involved in, our school curriculum enrichment, working directly with schools. We had about 2,500 for the 2016-2017 year, about 2,500 youth that we served through school enrichment programs. We had about 16,500 youth that were reached through special interest programs that we do, like Conroe Kids Fest, the Texas Wildlife Expo, summer programs, summer camps that we do. Our Junior Master Gardener program is one of our biggest, most successful school programs. We reached over 1,000 youth this year. Michelle mentioned our Texas 4-H Water Ambassador, and that young man kind of started the process this summer, and through a really good working relationship with Lone Star Groundwater Conservation District, they were able to fully sponsor his participation and his registration fees to be a water ambassador for the state of Texas. Wow. So through this year, he will be making presentations and doing all kinds of different things along with our other ambassadors to tell what they have learned and the skills they have gained. So again, we thank you for your support for National 4-H Week and for Montgomery County.
Great. Congratulations.
Congratulations
job,
to all of you.
Thank y'all
you.
Want a picture?
Y'all must work 24 hours a day there.
Well, we need to move, Judge. She says, Amy.
Oh, we have a motion on that proclamation, Commissioner?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Where are y'all going to squeeze in?
I was going to say, let's get all of y'all into the middle. I don't know how. Okay, we're going to move
Good job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank
well
you. Thank y'all.
Thank you again for the gift.
Thank y'all very much. Proud of our community, don't
absolutely.
You? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Amber, is there anything we can do with the audio? It's not. Okay. I just, people are alerting me to the fact they can't hear us.
Okay, Commissioners under County Clerk. Amy, can we do A, B, and C in one motion, or do you need those separately? Approval of minutes.
Do we have the fallen firefighters?
I'm sorry, the fallen firefighters. They got a call out, so they asked that we defer the fallen firefighters.
All right.
We can do A, B, and C. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve the minutes from our special session dated September 1st, our regular session dated September 5th, in our regular session dated September 12th.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, I don't have any changes on consent unless y'all have something you want to bring forward.
I just wanted to move 9L2 to open on page 8.
9L2.
That's a nonprofit. Other than that, I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, 9L2. Commissioner?
Yes, that is the consider and approve the following public service contracts for the fiscal years. These are mainly the charitable organizations that Montgomery County agreed to assist in the during the budget hearings. I just wanted to restate what I said during the budget hearings, that I understand how important these nonprofits are, and the services they provide to the county citizens are essential. I would like to see them continue to work hard to raise their funds in the private sector and become less dependent on Montgomery County as they move forward. So,
okay.
I think a lot of what little bit we give these organizations is leveraged money with state funding. I think that's one reason they need the input from the county and the help from the county. So, anyway, I think that's probably what that goes for.
Yeah. Some of that's youth, some of it's seniors, and I think
yeah.
it's less than 1/3 of 1% of the budget. It's not a lot of money, but it's a lot of folks that need a hand up at times. But
understand. But I move on it. I just wanted to make the statement.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Now we'll have our citizens' comment. We invite public for comments on items on today's agenda. Please state your name and the topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be deferred to department heads or elected officials. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking any action on matters raised in public comment. We do have 3 people that are signed up. Mayor Lincoln was the first one.
Good morning, Your Honor, Commissioners. My name is Diane Lincoln. I'm the mayor for the town of Woodlock. I wanted to discuss emergency management. As you know, we've all been through a big disaster here, and it's still been difficult. I am in a unique position. The town of Woodlock is a very small community, and it's more like a generational community because we've got grandparents, parents, children, and grandchildren here. And I do have colorful residents here that I have to deal with, and we like to keep things internally. You know, I've got residents that kind of take from one another, ride on the back of lawnmowers, drinking beer, and kids driving. But that's Texas. One of the things that I don't take kindly is when potential scammers come into my neighborhood, which we had last week. I had a generic form that was put on people's doors, and my IT person posted it on our social media. I did contact the EOC here. It ended up becoming a federal incident. This person was a subcontractor with FEMA. We had asked him at the beginning of the week through my IT person for his contract number with FEMA. This gentleman refused to cooperate. I worked with the EOC to get verification. This man refused to cooperate, and it did become a federal incident. My IT person worked with me and ended up with a conference call with Homeland Security and with FEMA. The man, all he had to do was provide a contract number, and it would have been done with. What I had been asking with our EOC was somebody to come out and investigate and to I was told by Homeland Security that what we did with putting this letter on our social media was to protect my town. I did what I was supposed to do. You know, just like you all, I took an oath of office. It looks very similar to this. We swear to uphold the law, and that's exactly what I do. Myself, you all, even the President of the United States takes this oath. We swear to uphold the law, and that's what I did, and that's what I will continue to do. I got an apology because of what this contractor did. He threatened to sue me in the town. I protect my citizens, and that's what we do. What culminated was a call from FEMA on Friday night from a woman that is coming out to see my town. This is the same woman that came out to every street around me. She was called by the Montgomery County EOC to investigate the devastation. This woman has already been out to my area, but not to Woodlock. And I am upset about that. She was contacted by the Montgomery County EOC, Ms. Tucker, and she is coming out to my town. But she should have already come out to me, but she wasn't sent to me because she didn't know about me. And I'm upset about that. The other thing that I would like for the EOC to do for Montgomery County, this book is sent to everybody that gets flood insurance. My people are upset because I'm going to uphold this law. This is not, and people need to understand that I don't make this law, you don't make this law, the National Flood Insurance does, and we all must abide by this law. Please remind your folks that this is what we have to do, is uphold the law.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you all very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
Get with me, if you would, after court, and we'll see. We'll get with Darren and see if we can't get,
well,
get that things taken care of.
Well, unfortunately, I have a meeting at 10:30.
Okay, well, give me a call later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Okay. Mr. Yalick.
Good morning. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. Talking about agenda item 11A, which is the nomination of someone to the Montgomery Central Appraisal District Board. Whatever you do, the last person in the world that you should place on the board of directors of the MCAD is someone like today's recipient of the Golden Hammer Award, who is Charlie Riley, who has triple hammered the taxpayers of Montgomery County and is easily more responsible for high property taxes than any other single individual in the community. The person you should nominate to the MCAD Board of Directors should instead have two criteria. One, she or he should absolutely detest the people on the Commissioner's Court and the fact that you've raised our county government spending and taxes as much as you have since 2000. Two, she or he should also detest the MCAD itself and its method of applying massive hidden tax increases through property tax appraisal increases behind which taxing entity officials try to hide. Now, I want to briefly talk about what Commissioner Riley's triple hammer of the taxpayers is so that you will hopefully avoid that when you get to agenda item 11A. Number one, anyone who supports taxing and spending, like Commissioner Riley, who has voted for the highest operational expenditure budget in the history of Montgomery County just a few weeks ago for fiscal year 2018. Number two, we need someone who will chop the MCAD budget severely. Under Riley's direction, the MCAD implemented a massive increase in its own budget for FY 2018 so that it would have more appraisers on the ground to inflict the tax increases that it inflicts upon us. And number three, we need someone on the MCAD board who actually understands its functions. Commissioner Riley said, quote, the MCAD board does not control home appraisal outcomes, unquote. If that's the case, then we need someone who will actually read and understand Section 25.18 of the Texas Tax Code, which says precisely the opposite of what Commissioner Riley said. He deserves the Golden Hammer Award for that, and the taxpayers of this county deserve someone on the MCAD board who will actually represent the taxpayers. Thank you.
Okay. Kyle Sadler. Sign up, Mr. Sadler.
Hello, my name is Kyle Sadler, and I'm speaking on item 12A with regards to the Hurricane Harvey flooding. Today I brought with me my wife and my two daughters, Denise, Kylie, and Zoe. Our home was flooded for the third time in 16 months. Last October 25th, I stood before you encouraging the court to take action with regards to applying for multiple grants available for flood victims, flood mitigation, and other flood-related funding offered by various state and federal agencies. Prior to speaking to the court, I met personally with my commissioner on two occasions and with your Honor's office and the head of the OEM for Montgomery County. After spending hours and days of research, phone calls, and emails with various agencies statewide and nationally, I presented the findings and the grants to that would offer our family and even more important, the county. I even received from one agency a verbal confirmation for a 4-foot aquadam that if the county would have applied, FEMA would have issued the funding. We received just over 3 feet of water this time, granting a possibility that our home might have been avoiding flooding. At the October meeting, I encouraged the county to apply because the deadline was fast approaching. I also reiterated the fact that I understood that the county might be limited on availability of staff to complete and file the documents. Therefore, I volunteered for the fourth time my staff as a support resource to assist in all capacity. Correct me, please, but I understand from communication I received that the only grant that was applied for a flood mitigation study. However, the county did not apply for the numerous fundings that were available. I brought my family here today for two reasons. One, because we support you fully. Please do not get me wrong as I stand before you. Our family supports you and your work. The second reason is to provide you with a visualization why it's important that we act on resources that are made available, no matter the perceived importance level. It's not about precinct lines or who's up for re-election. It's about my family, your family, and the families in every single family in one of the best counties in the state of Texas, our home, Montgomery County. I emphatically encourage you to join together, and please, let's all work together. We have one of the fastest growing counties in the state. Therefore, as homes, buildings, and parking lots are constructed, water is being displaced. Every inaction will result in more livelihoods affected. Every inaction will cost the even more money to the homeowner, the business owner, and the county. And lastly, every inaction will further jeopardize the lives and safety of all citizens in Montgomery County. I thank you for your time and service, and hope that y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, those were the only individuals that were signed up to speak. Is there anyone, not knowing the process, that would like to address court?
Morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Morning.
I'm John Wirtz, Precinct 2, GOP Precinct Chair 69, Montgomery County Tea Party. This won't be about the incompetence of SJRA and their failure to pre-release Lake Conroe, like Florida did with Lake Okeechobee prior to Irma making landfall. The lawsuits against SJRA will hopefully expose them for who they are.
Mr. Wirtz, this is on items on today's agenda.
The emergency management, I'm getting there. I'm only going to touch on a few items in this aftermath of that fateful decision of waiting too late. I hope I get as much time as the 4-H folks. I'm boots on the ground here. Since Hurricane Harvey hit this area, I've had the opportunity to work in several areas. That included driving to Timmeron to help a friend of a friend, to mucking out a house in Timber Lakes, to working with Grace Crossing Church filling over 2,000 cleaning buckets, to traveling to Port Neches to deliver food and water, and then acting as a chief buyer for the church to buy items that are to supplement buckets. 2000, and then finally settling in over the last few weeks at River Oaks Drive, which is an unincorporated area adjacent to Woodlock. What I saw along the way from a bigger picture were just a few things I think y'all can learn from. First, there was information from both the Woodlands Township and in a Courier article that directed people to the wrong website for help. Instead of mctxoem.org, it had .com, which took you to some auto parts website. Sounds small in nature, but when someone has just lost their house, most of their possessions, and they're exhausted, frustrated, and no telling how many people just threw up their hands and gave up. Some of the community leaders in Timber Lakes, including fellow precinct chair Shelley Rollins, were all but ignored. That's until we started posting pictures of debris piles with their street names. Commissioner Nowak, to his credit, took action thereafter. Shelley indicated to me this morning, however, that they had an HOA meeting last Monday, which no one from Precinct 3 attended. Having already mucked out a house, seeing the massive debris piles developing, and hearing people say it took 4 weeks during last year's storms to get picked up. I printed out 10 sheets of 10 slips of paper to give to the neighborhood so that they could file online. They were incensed that they even had to file to get debris picked up. I don't blame them. After we completed the bucket challenge at Grace Crossing Church, I was curious to see how Woodlock area had fared. As with River Plantation Timber Lakes, I had heard a lot about them. It's a disaster area. That became a humanitarian crisis, Commissioner Clark. Many of those people...
Mr. Worth, your time has expired.
We can talk.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else that would like to address the court today? Bill Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, Precinct 3. I want to address particularly the rollover funds. Some funds need to be rolled over. 15B, 22A, I have no objection. I have objection to 15D because there's no direction to it. A couple of years ago, Marshall Shirley stood up here in November and asked for $1 million and for a software upgrade and asked for a funding source. When Judge Sadler asked him to defer to the new budget so it could be put into the budget, a vendor stood up and said, well, you lose the sale price, which anybody who's ever done this knows that's just a trick done by salespeople. Now, I don't want things like that to create. I don't want rat holes to be created. You put in your budget, you spend it. And if you don't spend it, you either reduce your coming year budget because you've already figured out what was needed, and you can apply it in there. So I think it's just more matters of fiscal responsibility that I think you really have to look close to. And again, you're talking about what the impact, which we'll hear later regarding how much we're going to reduce income, because of the reappraisal, because of the damage. And I suggest that if it has an impact on our budget, that Precinct 3 and Precinct 4 have stepped to the plate with 5% reductions. I think it's time for Precincts 1 and 2. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to address court this morning?
Good morning, everybody. I'm Mark Frank, Precinct 1. For those following along, it's page 11, light item 18A. As Montgomery County continues to grow and continues to change, we're going to continue to have to change our precinct lines by adding new polling locations and having even more information for the public to have to obtain and cipher through to figure out where they should go. This is to be considered an approval for an order to change the election polling location. I'm a pretty simple man. As a citizen, I understand the frustration it is to show up to the place you've always gone and it now be changed, to have to only drive to a new one. As a Republican precinct chair, along with being a polling judge, I understand what happens behind the scenes. So I ask you gentlemen, how do you plan on effectively communicating this change to the public to avoid a problem at the polling locations? That's it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ginger Russell with Precinct 2, and I attended a meeting this week to hear my commissioner say that he was all for the taxpayers having a say in how our taxes are spent in the county. I'm coming to you today and wondering why only three of you on this court have decided to build this toll road, and you have refused to let the taxpayers have a say. And also regarding the appraisal district, who appoints the people that are going to be on this appraisal district? It seems like the commissioners that are on this court are also on the board of directors of the appraisal district. You're also on the board of the directors of the Montgomery County toll road. It looks like the fox is watching the hen house. And there's just no transparency. And as a taxpayer, I just appreciate transparency. I'd like to know how our taxes are spent. I'd like for the taxpayers to have a say in how our taxes are spent. And I'm just very appreciative of Eric Yolick and the Golden Hammer at least out of all the years I've been in Montgomery County, we have a voice, and it's showing the transparency and what's going on in the courts here in Montgomery County, where the Conroe Courier is lacking, and I do appreciate his work. And I just would like to know why you're not letting the votes, the taxpayers have a vote on this tow road.
I just want to make it clear that's not what I said, and it was recorded. She recorded it. We recorded it. That is not what it was said. What I said was, if I'm going to ask the taxpayers to be responsible for it, and if I was going to add debt to the county debt, they should vote on it. I'm not doing either one of these with this tax.
Are you not spending taxpayers' money out of the general revenue already towards this tow road?
Let's move on here. All right. Anyone else that would like to address the court on an item that's on today's agenda? Okay. Moving forward. Item 11A, consider, discuss, and approve nominees as the county's candidates for elections to the Montgomery County Central Appraisal District Board of Directors for 2018-2019. Yeah. Mr. Metter, you're on the board now.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be glad to serve again.
Okay. Mr. Riley, you're wanting to come off the board?
I want to step down, and I do want to nominate someone.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Eric Yollick.
I may change my mind, Judge.
Well, I understand that, too.
Commissioner Metter, do you serve for a different entity, though, not Montgomery County, correct?
Well, you're in the pot, and all the taxing entities have a vote, or they have so many votes, and they cast their votes for...
But only their representative, right? I'm just trying to make sure I understand how it works. When we cast a vote, we don't vote for someone nominated by... CISD, for example.
No. CISD nominates their own candidate, and just because the court, say, nominates me, that doesn't mean I'm going to get elected. You know, it's just a
Each entity
candidate.
Gets a certain number
Each
of votes.
Each entity gets a certain number of votes.
And depending
we have to,
on...
Do we have to decide how we split those votes between...
Yeah, we do.
And how many...
CISD does, and all the other taxing entities do.
How many members does this court appoint, Judge?
Two.
And who are our appointees now? Okay, so I thought you were appointed by Willis. So you're appointed by the court
by
as well.
By the court,
making sure it's clear.
Yeah, and CISD appoints, it's the taxing entities, the MUD districts have a representative. It depends on what taxing entity that you're nominated by.
I also have a couple of recommendations or names. I'd like to consider Peggy Hausman or Bill O'Sullivan. So
I've also got a couple... Mr. Guy Hancock, who served on the ESD board over there for a number of years, great community leader, and he's from East Montgomery County, and also Mr. Bob Casey from the Woodlands.
Okay. So we need to get this down, Amy, to two recommendations from the court of the 2, 4, 5 names that we have here, or 6 names, I guess, that we have. So do we need to have like a ballot on our next court meeting, or can we vote for it today? Or
or find out about the people that have been brought up today? I'm not sure that everybody knew. In fact, I'm sure that everybody didn't know who was going to be nominated.
Yeah.
So you can go.
So we've got six names. Is that what it is?
I'm
trying to figure out the best way to come up with the...
Amy?
The deadline is October 15th.
So we have one more court?
Before
okay. Yeah. Why don't we do this? Let's come up with a process to determine these two names out of these six. And if anybody else wants to offer any other recommendations or nominees, next court, we'll have a process in place whereby we can pick two of these six or seven, however many there are, at that time. And I'll work with Amy on some kind of a vote process to do that.
Amber, do you want the names? We can send them to you.
Yeah. You want the names now? Guy? You got them? Okay. Good. Well, then we'll work on that for a process for next Commissioner's Court. Okay. All right. Item 11B, consider and appoint Gary Squires to the Westwood Magnolia Parkway Improvement District Board of Directors. Would entertain a motion there, Commissioner.
Second.
Question or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Emergency management. Darren.
Darren, we're going to extend the order first.
I'm sorry?
Extend the order first.
Yeah, we can do that. Morning, Judge, Commissioners. Item 12A, consider and discuss Hurricane Harvey and related flooding events in effect on Montgomery County. Take any action related to the same. I think we have a resolution to extend our current disaster declaration. We request that we take their disaster declaration out another 30 days. It follows suit with what the governor just did as well. So that keeps us in queue for relief efforts from state and federal government.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
A couple of updates, and then I think I have one more agenda item or one more resolution. Just an FYI, yesterday FEMA extended the 100% funding for CAT-B measures for another 30 days. So that would take us into October 22nd. So any activities undertaken in response to Hurricane Harvey under the CAT-B category will be covered at 100%. I have this for Stephanie. Update on debris. Currently, we have multiple trucks running, both from our prime contractor, Crowder, and from the state of Texas, TxDOT. They have about five crews in the county. Each crew is a component of four or five trucks and loaders. To date, we have collected just under 70,000 cubic yards of debris throughout the county. I think we're finally getting a handle on the debris that we have out on the streets. I'd like to personally thank every commissioner for working with us and working through the problems that we had and designating POCs that we can communicate with daily and getting this issue under control. So the trucks will continue. We anticipate possibly completing our first round of pickups middle of next week to latter part of next week, and then we'll start focusing our efforts on second round pickups in those areas that need it. Another update on reports from citizens as far as the number of structures reported. We are at just under 3,700 structures that citizens have reported to us. We're actually working with MCAD, and as they're doing some reappraisals, they're driving every street. So we hope that when their efforts are completed, we'll be able to come back to court with a firm number of houses that were impacted throughout the county. Total funds that we're looking at from just citizens reporting, we're going to exceed $16 million in damages. So just kind of an idea. Along those same lines, one of the other contracts that we enabled on September 1st, we did two contracts with Tetra on September 1st. One was the debris monitoring contract where we did, and then we also put into effect our proposal with Tetra to go out and complete some site assessments for us for public health and safety reasons on some of these structures and substantially damaged structures. Today we're going to ask the court to allow us to take that not to exceed on that one particular proposal to $350,000 on that one. Our first one for the debris monitoring was $250,000. This one will be at $350,000. I'll need the court's action on that one.
We have a resolution in order for that, Judge.
Move.
Action on that.
Second.
Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And for Tetra?
That's correct.
And that is FEMA reimbursable?
That's
and
what we're working for, yes, sir.
Yeah, 100%.
Can we go ahead and amend that and name the funding source? I think before
Thank
we
you.
Would name fund balance. Is that the same funding source
same
for this
fund,
as well?
Yeah, fund balance.
I'll amend it, move on the resolution in order of the $350,000 for fund balance as the funding source.
Sorry. I didn't presume that, so
you
she
did
has
what?
To write it in. I didn't presume what the funding source would be.
Okay.
So.
Got
it.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Question carries.
And then unless the court has some questions, that will conclude 12A.
Darren, go ahead.
I'd just like to thank TxDOT again for stepping up to the plate and getting their crews out and helping, providing the 242 and 1314 site to save the taxpayers countless dollars for not having to pay for that site. And one other thing, last night on a news report, I think we need to communicate with Texas DPS put out a report that said We only had 100 homes that were total loss and 1,000 homes affected, so I think we need to communicate with those folks. And
okay. Yeah. It's,
that doesn't sound,
that's
not
yeah.
even close. So.
Okay. I'm not sure where they got that data. But
not sure if it was the news or them, but we need to check on that.
Okay. We'll do. We'll follow up on that.
Darren, back in 1994, you know, we had a mechanism to determine houses that had 1 inch of water or more, and it was over 4,000 homes at that time. So I would assume the number's probably going to be bigger this year. Do we have a mechanism to figure out those that are not significantly damaged, but maybe minor amounts of damage that did take on some water?
That's one of the things we're hoping to obtain with both the MCAD with their drive assessments and with Tetra through that contract with Tetra. They're out walking the streets now. They've already walked 4 subdivisions, and they're gathering all that data for us. So we're hoping to be able to tell homes anywhere from 3 feet and less, and then homes over 3 feet, which we would ordinarily be determined substantially damaged.
Okay.
Correct.
Darren, could you also comment on the dates that we talked about so people can be aware?
In regards to the debris pickups, if things stay on schedule and we don't have any more unforeseen issues, we're looking to wrap up complete debris pickups throughout the county on October the 16th.
I'm going to repeat that just because I'd like for the media to hear that October 16th will be the last day that the county is going to be picking up debris, the county and or the county's vendors. So if your home flooded, you need to get your materials to the right-of-way, not in your front yard. We cannot go on private property to retrieve this stuff. It needs to be along the edge of the street, either the curb or the ditch, whichever you have, and we will get it picked up.
They won't pick it up in the ditches.
We did. If it was in a ditch, we pick it up.
Okay.
But we want to make sure that people understand that.
If it's within that 10-foot right-of-way, they should be picking it up. If we have some instances where it's not being picked up, if you communicate that to the office, then we'll make sure we have crews go out and take a look
and
at that.
And if we have elderly or handicapped people who can't, you know,
they can contact
my office, and we've got volunteers, not county employees, but people who are willing to help make that happen.
That's correct.
Did you get any information on gated neighborhoods from FEMA? I know we asked a couple of courts ago, Commissioner Metter did. Do you have an answer yet?
So the answer from FEMA is that we have to seek approval from FEMA first. If FEMA grants us approval, then we'll have a hold harmless right-of-way interlocal agreement that the county attorney drew up, and we'll present that to the responsible parties. And once it's approved, then we can enter into that.
Have we already asked FEMA?
We have not, because I have not had any identified gated communities that needed pickup.
I can give you one in Spring Trails.
Okay.
If those
will get forwarded to our office, then we will seek approval, because it has to be done by site. It can't be done carte blanche. So.
Okay. Ryan, you don't know the name of that gated community in Spring Trails that flooded, do you?
Miss, we're having trouble hearing back here.
You don't know the name of that Spring Trails neighborhood that flooded that's gated?
Yes, Sweet May Crossing.
Sweet May Crossing?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and I'll coordinate with Matt Beasley and make sure we have all the particulars on that.
And Commissioner, we have the agreement that you need. It's ready to go. We just need the details of the community.
Put it on the agenda for next court then, please.
We need it executed by the community first for y'all to approve it. And approved by FEMA. So.
All before the 16th.
We got it.
It's going to happen.
So Darren can help you with that. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Darren and I attended a meeting last week, and one of the questions that came up was about buyouts for those that have been repetitively flooded. It may be 6 to 12 months before we know from FEMA what is going to be available for buyouts.
Right.
The challenge is they indicated that there would be about 15% of the total dollars expended in Montgomery County available to use for whatever we choose, whether it be buyouts or other options. So it's not going to be a tremendous amount of money. Either way.
Yeah, it won't be fast and it won't be a lot. That's correct.
That's frustrating.
Darren, while we're talking about debris removal, if you would let any citizens know in Precinct 3 that our residential site is going to close Sunday at 5 o'clock. So it'll be the last day that residents can drop off debris at our facility. We need to have all of that moved over to the main site run by
the contractor.
Correct.
They can continue on 242 at 1314 through the 16th.
Through the 16th, okay.
Yes.
So the 16th is the last day for right-of-way pickup, and the final public site closure at 1314-242 in Precinct 3's public site will close this Sunday.
Yep. Are we going to have monitors at these sites till the 16th?
The ones for residential, yes, sir.
Yeah. Commissioner, we talked about gated communities. If you have a gated community, you just need to get with Darren and let him know. What.
Already have.
Okay, good. Okay, anything else?
And on 12A.
Thank you, Darren. Good job.
All right.
Great job, Darren. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. Item 12B, consider and approve the Houston-Galveston Area Council Interlocal Agreement for Hazard Mitigation Planning. This is the agreement that we actually brought before court, I think, fall of last year. The Hazard Mitigation Plan is the cornerstone and paramount for all of our grant funding, not just for the county, but for all of our municipalities. So HJC applied for a grant and was awarded that grant finally, and so they now have the grant, so now we're entering into that interlocal with HJC to do the to actually make create that plan for us. Associated with that is a 25% match for the county that can be attained through cost or through in-kind services. We're estimating a total of about $30,000 on our participation, on our 25% to that. So we're asking the court to allow us to move forward with that. And I can't say for certain that we'll have that is the total will be $30,000. We're going to apply as much in-kind as we can towards that. But so we're asking the court to name a funding source for not to exceed of $31,000.
Okay. I move contingency as a funding source.
Second.
Any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Darren.
Hey, Darren, too, FEMA had indicated that a lot of our volunteer hours can be used as in-kind contribution.
That is so correct. On our matches on the CAT, on any of the CAT A through G, we
a
can
G.
apply a lot of those volunteer hours towards those matches.
Commissioners, if y'all have anybody, any groups out there that have volunteer hours that you could kind of put together, we can use those as our in-kind match to some of the FEMA refunding. And we'll put that out to the public too, Darren. If there are groups that we
you
can
put
get that
something out there,
from.
And I'll share it.
Thank you, guys.
Good. Uh-huh. Thank you, Darren. Constable Precinct 3. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. 13A. We ask the court to consider and approve transferring unused salary and benefit funds to operating funds of Constable Precinct 3. The numbers I have are roughly $81,700. We're asking that $28,000 be deposited into line item 7570 and the remainder of available funds. All of those other funds go to line item 7390.
Goodness, we've never carried over unspent salary, have we?
So in the past, you have had some departments ask to move funds from salary down into operating lines, and y'all have approved that only in certain very strict circumstances. Our numbers don't necessarily agree with yours, Constable. I'm not sure if you're looking at yours in totality of all of the cost centers, in which case some of those automatically get carried over anyway just to the nature of them, such as training funds that come from the state, or
yes, ma'am.
I believe we have fees and fines that automatically, by previous action of the court. I'm not sure exactly what the disparity is in our numbers.
What number do you have, Ms. Martin?
We had a little over $6,000.
And you had $81,000?
We,
kind of precedence of moving.
Yeah.
We're going to do this with the Sheriff's Department, or...
We took a sweep of roughly close to $70,000 with an unused negative balance of about $17,700 in salaries that have yet to be paid, leaving us a balance of about $81,000 due to Harvey overtime.
Are you looking at it from like today's numbers?
Yes, ma'am.
So some of the discrepancy then would be things like the accrual. So the way your paydays work, whenever we follow generally accepted accounting principles, we're required to bring expenditures related to this year into this year. So even though payday isn't on the 30th, we take those charges for salaries. We might actually pay them in October, but we charge them back to September.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a fair amount of that. It's going to be a payroll that hasn't posted yet.
Yes, ma'am.
So he doesn't have 81,000.
It won't be 81,000.
He'll have 6,000 available.
Our estimate is a little over 6.
Does that fall in the training? Is that where that 6,000 is from, that's unspent, or do we know?
It's just salaries, probably from vacancies, or they have a certain overtime budget, so maybe they didn't expend all of that overtime. For us, that's the salaries and benefits that we estimated. Like I said, that payroll hasn't even posted yet. It's an estimate at this time.
And that's
but it wouldn't
what
be
we've
the
always used to pay off if someone retires and they had time banked that we didn't.
We're certainly looking at a huge discrepancy difference between our numbers from 6,000 to roughly 56,000 adjusted after the sweep of salary funds. And a negative balance of 17 from unpaid payroll is where we're sitting in my salary line item of a negative balance. So my concern is that we obtain our monies back that were swept from us from approved funding that we received approval before Harvey ever hit.
And if you're talking about overtime for the storm, we do want to make sure that any overtime hours that were worked by his deputies and his staff, that they're paid for that.
Absolutely, and Commissioner, and we've done that. Yes, sir.
Where did the money come from to pay them? Was that my budget? Was it
so based on, it depends on the documentation we've received from the constable's office, because some of it was related to the hurricane, and so it would have been anticipated that we would receive part of the reimbursement from FEMA.
Okay.
Some of it is just overtime, not necessarily eligible to be reimbursed from FEMA, and so it would have maybe come from contingency.
Okay.
Or other sources, not an anticipated FEMA revenue.
So any overtime that was worked related to Harvey,
it has
did
been
not
paid.
Come out of their budget. It came or
it does initially, yes, sir, until we receive the documentation, because we don't know then where to slot it after that.
Has it been received yet? Have you received the documentation so he'll get that funding back?
We've received some of that. Did we get all of it? I'll go get my
spreadsheet. Tell you what, why don't y'all coordinate your numbers and bring this back next court? Would that put you in a bind?
The problem is by next court we'll be in the new year.
Yeah, that's right.
This
okay.
is the last court date.
So you're saying some money was swept that you had intended use for and
correct. A large amount of money was swept. Jimmy, can you tell us
what it was that I think, Commissioner Judge, originally y'all said that any overtime accrued because of Hurricane Harvey was going to be paid by the county, not necessarily the departments. And I understand what the Treasurer's saying is that we have to turn in the 214 forms and all that. Initially, when the overtime was charged, it was charged back to our payroll, whether it's overtime or whatever. And between the overtime, it was like $62,000. And, of course, when the overtime pay goes up, so do the adjoining benefit packages that come with it.
Right.
That equaled the $81,000, $82,000. When that happened, it put our budget in the red. And there's no way out of it. What the constable was asking is when the forms were turned in, and we've been working with the departments to turn all the forms in, I think we accomplished that last night. Everything was turned in. Is that the $82,000 be returned
back
to our budget. When that happens, it's going to give us a surplus under salaries, overtime, and benefits between $56,000 and $58,000.
Understand.
That is the money that we were trying to move to the two coordinated funds.
And I want to make sure that you, your deputies and your staff is paid for their overtime. And I think Commissioner Metter's concern is, even if we refund that money, I don't know that the court is going to let you roll that money over into next year's budget. I think that's
Mike, we never have.
Yeah, we certainly want everybody paid, but I don't remember us rolling.
Our concern is that we come to you all with certain expectations of the overages in the funds that we were going to have left over. We know that there have been departments with the county that have been approved to maintain additional funding over and above their salary benefits. So that's kind of what we're here looking for. But certainly we want our money returned to us to pay our people. So we made sure that we submitted to certain members of the court, an estimation on where we were at during the flood, our spending, what our projected was, and things of that nature to get to make sure that you guys had an update on where we were with our expenditures and such for overtime funding. So basically, we did have certain things we needed for the department out of the excess funds that we would have had left over that we're asking to roll into. So I guess we're asking for our money back, and we're asking to use remaining funds into certain things that y'all have given other departments approval to use those funds before. So
what are the two line items that you want that money distributed to?
7570.
But what's that mean?
What are they?
7570 is going to be an operating line item.
That's a capital.
It's equipment.
It's capital outlay.
It's equipment.
Okay.
Some of the things that they've talked about before, I think, are additional equipment related to safety concerns, additional software, things like that for the ICAC. Some of those items, which instead of coming back to you and asking for a separate funding source, they'd like to use these funds to fund those law enforcement activities.
Phyllis, how about if we, just, if I made a motion that just said we will, up to $81,000 would be returned to the constable's office for use, let him carry that over as well, whatever that number ends up being, if it's 50,000 or...
Constable, are you asking to carry it into fiscal 18 or only just to move it from salary to operating in 17?
We can spend the money.
Originally, we were just asked for it to be put back in the org key so that we would have the remainder of this week to cut the POs and get that accomplished. And we understand that even there, because there's going to be expenses that they need to be kept for vehicle maintenance, that is bills that are going to be coming due after the fiscal budget year is over, and, of course, fuel costs.
Okay.
But some of the money was going to be spent to purchase items for ICAC investigations.
But you wouldn't have been able to move that from salaries to...
Correct.
Not without the
coming
court.
Coming to court
anyway.
Right.
So even if it would have been in there, you would still would have had to come here and ask to move it to those other line items.
As we
and that's what they're asking to do.
So, and
the struggle we're
I'm
having
okay
is the timing
that
of the hurricane
figure,
is making
as long as it's
the final
under
number.
$81,000, I move that we give
them that
flexibility.
And if it's not a carryover into 18, I'm okay with it.
I guess our one of the issues would be is we only have 3 days left.
Right.
Is to get it moved so we can have the two
better
days
hurry
to get that completed.
Well, once a purchase order is issued, it's encumbered.
Yeah.
It's covered.
We're looking for two different line items, roughly $28,000 in one for safety equipment, you know, computer software and things of that nature for technology. We're looking for tasers and such, and then the remainder to go into a line item for vehicle maintenance, repairs costs, fuel costs, things of that nature for what's left over out of the $28,000.
And we completely understand that if it's encumbered this year, even if it hadn't been paid, it will be taken out of this year's money. But the money has to be in those accounts for it to
occur. That's right. And I move. Anybody second?
I'll second.
He seconded a while ago.
If it's not a carryover.
All right.
No, it's not a carryover. It should be used in this year's.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Motion
and as far as 13B, we'd like to withdraw that or defer it.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Constable.
Thank you.
All right, Constable, Precinct 5.
Judge, Commissioners, thank you for having us today. We're going to consider and approve the carryover of $9,256 from line item 5551-7570, capital outlay, machine and equipment to the same for the 2018 budget. And the reason for this is we came in about a month ago and got approval to buy cameras. Where we were ordering the cameras from, they had a change in the cameras. And when they brought out the new cameras, we weren't happy with them. So that just gives us a little bit more time to find the cameras we're actually going to use. We had them ordered, but once we ordered them, they said we're discontinued that one. This is one you're going to get, and we canceled that order because we weren't happy with that one.
I move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr.
Chief. Okay. Airport. James.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning, Jane.
First item, 15A, consider an approved sublease agreement between the CFTA, LLC, and Galaxy Travel Air. That's just a simple sublease from a tenant.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And B, consider an appropriate approve the carryover for the remaining FY17 funds in 6291-7573, acquisition of aircraft rescue and firefighting vehicle and equipment to 6291-7573 in FY18 budget in the amount of $41,701.91. And a little background on that. We acquired this piece of equipment about 5 years ago. We were given, I think, an initial budget of $250,000 to purchase it. It was donated, but it was in disrepair. So we had to put a big chunk of that into it to get it operational. And we've never set an actual budget for that, for the maintenance of that vehicle. So what we've done is we've just carried over each year and used that. And my plan is to investigate the what we've actually spent over the last 5 years, find out what is a one-time expense and what is actual maintenance, and help us to develop a budget for that line item next year. And that's my plan.
This is money that was approved to purchase the equipment.
Yes.
That we've been carrying over
each year.
And
yes,
we've got one more to go. I'm moving.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And C, consider if appropriate, approve the carryovers for the remaining FY17 funds in 6291-7598 major projects to 6291-7598 in FY18 budget in the amount of $14,238.21. And that's another project that was started this year. We just haven't finished it. We've had some issues getting permits and things like that.
Wash rack?
It's a wash rack, yes, sir.
Is that the entire balance of your major projects fund? 14,238.21.
Yes, yeah, and that's what we had estimated for the project, and we have a little bit more. I think some of it was from
the problem. I think, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the permits with the city as far as separation or
the water or water separator.
Yeah, we're having trouble getting that nailed down where we can actually
move
build
forward.
A wash rack. So I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And D, consider if appropriate, approve the carryover of the remaining FY17 funds in 6291-7351 repairs and replacements to 6291-7351 in FY18 budget in the amount of $132,503.56. And that was a project also that was approved. It's the aircraft, or the, I'm sorry, the runway washing project. We had some issues with the bids. We had to rebid it, and so it's just been delayed. And then the remainder of that, about $58,000 is the washing. The remainder is actually to restripe the runway. So we're actually doing all the new markings with the glass beads and everything like that. So it's a two-part project.
And this has already been approved.
Yes.
But
we just have not been able to spend it yet.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, James.
Tax assessor collector.
Good morning.
Hello.
16A, consider and declare default to the tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Frock and authorize recapture of taxes. It's 4 units in Building 7.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 16B, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the property reappraisal due to Hurricane Harvey and related activities. Please name a funding source for the cost associated therewith, including but not limited to those incurred by the tax office and the Montgomery Central Appraisal District.
Second.
Do we have an estimate on that yet? Or?
We do, and it's been after conversation with the county attorney's office. I think it's been determined that although the tax office will incur some cost, for the mailing of the checks, the processing of the refund checks, and also for the corrected tax statements, we are not able to recapture the county's cost. So I do have an estimate from the appraisal district, and
I thought they were going to do that. They were going to do the reappraisals on their own.
They are doing the reappraisal itself, the field work, at no cost, but there's other costs associated with it.
Okay.
Right now, they've went out and they've actually looked at 29,973 residential properties. Of those properties, 2,728 have some type of water damage or other damage. And they still have 22,593 that they know of left to go out and review. And so based on the percentage of homes that receive damage, from the ones that they've already looked at, we're just estimating that we'll double that. So, and this doesn't, this is residential, so there's no commercial properties included at this
and
point.
So is that, is if you add 29,973 and a 22,000, is that the total number of single family homes in all of Montgomery County?
No,
or is that just ones
no.
that are along the
this
areas
is ones that,
that
they have identified, or subdivisions, areas that they have identified that have suffered, that they know have suffered some type of damage. Now, there'll be outlying areas that is not an entire subdivision that they do have a link on their website.
Confused, because, I mean, I know that we didn't have
we didn't have
50,000 homes that were damaged.
No,
in
and
any
they're
way,
just,
shape, or form.
But they're looking at areas that have had multiple homes that have reported flood damage. And so I know they've completed River Plantation. There's 450 homes that's been identified in River Plantation.
Did they reappraise all the homes in RP?
They have reappraised 450. They only reappraise properties that actually have damage.
Well, what about the effect of the neighbor with flooded homes? I mean, their property is just as badly
the
impacted.
The tax code doesn't allow for that. It's
I mean,
only
no
those homes.
No one's going to want to buy the house next to the home that flooded. I mean,
but this is
silly.
A special provision of the tax code that allows for the reappraisal in mid-year.
No, just hopefully next year it'll be reflected.
Tammy, how many residential homes do we have total in Montgomery County?
I don't have that number on me right now.
You know the residential value?
Well, I have the, and my estimate is based on the average home value. The county's average home value is $271,594. You take into account the 20% homestead exemption, and then this estimate is, and these are rough numbers. I just want to caution you, they're going to change. We just said if 6,000 homes suffered 50% damage, and you're going to have some that suffer more and some that suffer less, and the values are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the average home value for the county, the taxpayer would save $177, just over $177 and some change. The impact to the county's budget would be $1,066,854. And again, these are rough estimates. We have no way of knowing until they're all identified.
Do we ever get that number of the costs, the hard costs?
The cost, the low end would be $110,000 from the appraisal district. High end, $150,000. Right now, the township and the county are the only two jurisdictions that have authorized the reappraisal. So that would put the county at almost just over 84.5% to fund that.
And I thought that the county will have to pay MCAD to reappraise them?
It's not the actual reappraisal itself. They have programming fees. They've calculated ARB fees into the cost into that. If ARB doesn't, if no one protests the property out of the reappraisals, that would be a $35,000, $35,000 to $40,000 that they've built in those costs that would come off.
But does your vendor charge the county?
My vendor is not charging.
But their vendor is?
Their vendor is.
And that's not the same vendor?
It's not the same vendor.
Too bad.
Yeah. But so based on a $110,000 estimate, the county's portion would be just over $93,000 unless someone joins in. And I noticed we have some members of the hospital district here this morning. So, of course, any other jurisdictions that join in, authorize a reappraisal, that shrinks the county's portion.
One from CISD here?
And then the county's portion right now, just based on the township and the county, if it was a $150,000 estimate, the county's portion would be just almost $127,000 of that. But like I said, if the hospital district does join in, the county's percentage would go from 84.5% to 75%, just over 75%.
About a $200,000 net negative revenue to the county overall, including expenses.
Say that again? Repeat
that. We had $85,000, and then how much did you say that was going to impact?
tax rolls?
Where did you get 85,000?
I thought you said the county's part was 85,000 just now.
No, 84.5%.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Just
over
$1 million.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
And that's based on the average home value at 50% loss. I know that
somebody's tax bill when they can't live in their home.
Right, right, absolutely, yeah.
Out of those 2,728 homes that were damaged, category D is greater than 48 inches of water. There was 996 that had over 48 inches of water.
Wow.
Category C, which is 19 to 48 inches, there were 461 homes.
Of the ones they've identified.
Of the ones they've identified so far. Category B, which is 6 to 18 inches, there were 825 homes. Category A, 0 to 6 inches, they had 416. And then other, which is where there may have been a tree or, you know, roof damage of something, something along those lines, they've had 30 that have been identified.
Has the county ever done this before? Have we ever sought for appraisal? Well,
right.
I'm glad we did. It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do, yeah.
Out of the 450 homes in River Plantation, how many? Do you know how many of them had over 4 foot of water in them?
I don't have that breakdown. I know that they've completed, at this point, they've completed River Plantation, not Precinct 3, but the Woodlands Township. They've completed those. At the last count, when we attended their meeting last week, last Thursday, they had 218 homes. City of Conroe, just over 200, and City of Woodlock, 76. And I know they've completed most of Precinct 3 because they know that area was hit hard, which included Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge, but I just don't have those numbers.
Did you have quite a bit of flooding down in Robert Cemetery?
Not as much as I thought I would.
Thank you for the information.
Okay, so we just need a funding source.
Fund the fund balance.
Yeah.
It's part of the storm.
Okay.
Got a motion, good.
Second.
You remove it.
Second.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Tammy, just quickly, at some point I'd like to get the total number of homes and the total number that were impacted to get an idea of what percentage of the homes in the county were actually impacted. I think it's going to be a very, very small.
And our next court date, we will have more accurate numbers, but I would like for everyone on the court to understand, because there will be questions. Tax statements are going out the week of October the 9th. Those tax statements will be based on the full taxable value as of January the 1st. And then after that will come the corrected statements and a refund if they've already paid the taxes.
Okay.
And the information you just gave us about the, you know, the 48 inches and all that, could you get a copy of that and share that with Darren so we can cross-match?
Absolutely. And he's working very closely with Tony's office, with the appraisal district.
Good.
All right. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Why don't we, you need to change? Let's take a 5-minute recess and change the disc. Let's bring the court back to order, please. All right. Item 17A. Nate.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners. Morning. Thank you for that little break. I have two items before you today. In 17A, I'm asking that you consider and appoint Judge Doyle to the Court Security Committee as a representative of the Commissioner's Court. That designation was made by Judge Hamilton, the local administrative judge, at the September Board of Judges meeting.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. And in item B, the court had granted approved a grant-funded position for Veterans Court back in May. This person has been co-officing with another staff member in the 359th, and the court is asking to carry over around $2,500 out of their operational budget into the next fiscal year so that building maintenance can actually convert a supplies room in that court to an office for this individual.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nate. Commissioners, just real quick, going back to the last item, just some quick thumbnail math. It's about 3% of the homes at 4,000 is the level. So
okay.
Those that were impacted severely, but the percentage is fairly small. So. All right, item 18, elections. Morning.
Morning. Morning, Susie.
In Precinct 35, the polling location that was selected for use in the November 7th, 2017 election is not available. That's just for that particular election. That's not a permanent change. We're requesting to have that the voters in that precinct vote at Oak Ridge High School just for that election. Notice for a change like this is posted on our website. It's also printed in the newspaper. And signage is put up at the former polling place telling voters what location to go to.
And we'll spread the word as well and get with the city of Oak Ridge to make sure that they communicate it as well. And it is a flood-related activity. The Robinson Road is now full of all of the animals, snakes, spiders, all the things that were at the Nature Center. They were moved prior to the flood, luckily. I don't think people want to vote there with tarantulas and snakes and all, but we will try to get that taken care of as soon as we can, but I move on the change.
Susie, on a deal like that, is there a way to notify the people in that precinct, just a mail out into that precinct?
Can do mailers. It's costly, no.
It is temporary.
But it's a possibility, right, and it's just for that specific election, but there are signs that are put up at the Robinson Road Community Building in this case that would tell voters where to go. And we generally include a map.
Part of those two locations.
A flyer that
they're
can
close.
Take.
They're on the same street. And I nominate
that's
Mr.
Why
Frank
we selected that
to
location.
Go door to door and
help.
No, I'm just, we need any way we can get them to, because I know that community, they're not real digital.
Right.
So I was kind of being serious.
But we do also put printed flyers attached to the signs at the location that they can take with them.
Okay,
perfect.
On
thank
election
you so
day.
Much.
Good. Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The second item, 18B, consider and approve an order for changes to county election precinct boundaries. The creation of new election precincts and polling locations to be effective January 1st, 2018. This is obviously due to growth exceeding the number of voters allowed in a voting precinct. This type of notice is given. We post this on our website. We include the new precinct number on voter registration certificates that will be mailed out this year at the end of the year. We also mail a notice to each affected voter that their precinct has changed and give them information on how to contact us if they have any questions. And the notice is also published in the newspaper once a week for 3 consecutive weeks.
So in this particular case, you do notify each individual?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes.
Good. Move. Second.
How many new precincts do you anticipate being created?
6.
So that's in addition to last year's?
Yes.
6 or
wow.
5.
That's because the statutorily
right.
5,000?
5,000 non-suspense voters per precinct.
And 4 of them are in precinct 4, right?
That's right.
All right.
And see, there's that Grand Parkway working for you.
That's it.
What is the total number of precincts that'll bring us to?
96.
96.
That's right.
96.
More precinct chairs needed.
Yeah. That's
motion.
Right.
I move. And
second. Get all in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susie.
Animal shelter. Oh, no, wait. County auditor.
Move.
Oh. Perfect. Before you are the salary schedules for fiscal 2018, and they are. It's requested that they become effective October 7th.
Have a motion and a second. Any
move
questions
second.
Or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Animal shelter.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. So 20A, we're asking you to consider and approve the carryover of funds in all 6331 line items from FY17 to 18. And most of this is related to we just got that additional funds before the storm, and we haven't obviously had a chance to do anything with
what's
it.
That, so how much was it?
The funds that you gave us.
Oh, that you want to carry over. What's the amount?
The remaining amount should be around, I think, probably $400,000 after salaries and all that stuff.
Not to include salaries?
Not to include salaries.
Whatever it is, not to include salary, I move.
Okay.
Do you have a rough idea?
I don't have an estimate on that, Commissioner. No, sir.
I'm just curious. I wanted to find out how much of that million they actually spent.
We're well on the way to accomplishing a lot of good things, some changes. The shelters never look better, but because of the storm and the having to run the deal out at the fairgrounds and stuff, they just weren't able to accomplish
everything
they needed to accomplish.
I heard Good Morning America was trying to get a hold of you for a real job.
I saw him on TV.
Yeah,
Michael Strahan did come out. So
that was quite an event. If you didn't make it out there, it was quite an experience. We ended up moving how many?
We processed over 1,000 animals, and then Best Friends came in and assisted along with American Humane, they were awesome. So
a lot of people come and want to know how we did it and what the practice was, and a lot of attaboys that it's the best they'd ever seen in a crisis like this.
And Judge, back to the main item. One of the things, Phyllis, maybe going forward we can have department heads and elected officials, before they put something like this on the agenda, have firm numbers that the court can vote on. We don't need to be doing this blindly. So in the future, we need a number.
Sure.
And you enforce it.
Enforce that they need a firm number?
Yeah.
So the county auditor's office isn't responsible for preparation of the agenda.
I didn't know that was coming.
They'll have your wrath.
Catch it in the gender review.
You're responsible for that part.
We just gave you that authority. Thanks.
Aaron, you did a great job in the disaster situation. One thing we need to kind of think about, commissioners, is a donation site or a donation entity for we had a tremendous amount of dog food, kennels, crates. It was a huge outpouring, but they ended up being donated to the county. And we had a bit of a challenge getting rid of it. We did contract with the state to use the dog food in other areas, which was great, but because I didn't want it to go to waste at all. But we need to find some organization. So if you could help us with that, Aaron, that would be great.
We're going to work on that in the plan for next.
Okay. Awesome. Good job. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. We already voted, too, in our minds.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Sir.
Okay. Mr. Case.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Consider and approve the carryover of any unspent funds in line item 510-7352 to the FY18 budget in order to complete the roof repairs to various county buildings.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And that's just because we just approved it 9-1, and you can't get it spent that quickly, and we definitely need those roof repairs made.
Thank you.
Thank
Mine's
you,
leaking as we speak.
Purchasing.
Morning,
Gilbert.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First item is to take all appropriate action to approve a proposed position and salary adjustments with no impact to the fiscal year 2018 budget effective 10/7/17.
This is your restructuring?
Yes, a restructure plan.
Second.
Good job.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank
opposed?
You.
Motion carries.
Item B, we have change order to Tyler Technologies. This is to add the Tyler Brazos e-citation ticketing solution. The price of the change order is $991,194.64, and there's an annual maintenance fee of $125,944.
And this is money that was already approved in Marshall's budget. Yeah, I move.
Yes.
Second.
Phyllis, going forward, will that $125,944, will that be always allocated to IT to maintain that?
So we would work with the IT department. This might be part of one of their long-range plans, and I know they have several in place. And if that's the case, it's something that they already anticipated being part of their budget in subsequent years. But we would get with them on that.
And is this the exact same dollar amount that we have approved in the past? I know we've been talking about e-ticketing for years now.
No, it's not the exact same, although they have held
Marshall.
Come to the microphone, please.
The vendor has honored the pricing that has been 3 years old,
okay.
But the numbers of seats and the device counts and all of that has changed, so that has an effect on the maintenance as well.
All right.
But they have honored the pricing.
Cost per is the same.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a separate in the IT cost centers. There is a law enforcement cost center that these items are split apart, and we would anticipate they would remain there. We're okay with them going wherever you'd want them to go.
You've negotiated this as such. We should not see another change order for Tyler regarding this because that's important.
I knew this was going to come up. The only reason you're seeing this as a change order is because we're riding on that existing master contract.
Well, what was the amount of the master contract?
The original amount was, I don't even recall, $5 million.
Can you have a change order in excess of 20%?
Yes.
There's no max?
Right, there is no max. Okay. The reason that this is considered a change order, now Brazos Technologies used to sell on their own, and Tyler bought them. So this is the only place we can get the e-citation solution because it's part of the Tyler Technology piece. So it's another module. You can call it a change order or buying another module.
Okay, got it. Thank you all both.
But I knew that word would come up.
That change order in Tyler doesn't go well with the court, I don't think.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yep. I moved.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
All right. The next item is to award Project 2017-0063, which is Woodlands Parkway widening, Grogan Mills Road, to IH-45 for Precinct 3. The vendor is Triple B Services, and the bid price is $4,966,209.51.
Move.
Second.
Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Motion carries.
The next project to be awarded is Project 2017-0052, Woodlands Parkway widening, Forest Gate Drive to Kirkendall Road, Precinct 3, and that award would go to DVL Enterprises. Now, the award we're making is excluding Item 35. There was some confusion on Item 35 on how that was bid, so we eliminated it from the entire bid tabulation. I estimate it's about a $10,000 deduct. It will probably be put back in as a change order later. It was an error in the engineering piece. The total bid price, less Item 35, is $1,087,741.50.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Becca? I'll have Becca come up and do the grants now.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. We're asking you to consider and approve the acceptance of grant funding from the Petco Foundation for the animal shelter for the disaster relief grants, one in the amount of $25,000 and one in the amount of $150,000. Petco completed the application on behalf of the county.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Your comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
E, consider and accept the FY17 formula grant increase from Texas Indigent Defense Commission.
How much was that?
There's a slight deduction for FY18 and FY19. I think it's a little over $117,000.
It will lose?
Offset. No, it's increasing for FY17 to offset the deduction for FY18.
Okay.
Good.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner, Precinct 2.
Considering appoint Tom Grayson and James Wallace to the Westwood Magnolia Parkway Improvement District Board of Directors. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Precinct 4.
Consider and approve granting discretionary exemption as authorized by Section 262.024, an item available from one source for herbicide spray truck repairs upgrade to Chivalo Sprayers Incorporated. I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, human resources. Jody.
Good morning. Please consider and approve the revisions to the drug-free workplace policy in Section 3.2 of the Montgomery County Employee Policy Manual. What we're doing there is the only people that will be applicants that we will be pre-employment testing will be those that are covered under CDL driver license or safety-sensitive positions.
Second.
Your comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, now we've come to the time on our agenda for citizens' comment for items that are not on today's agenda. Same comments apply, 3 minutes, and we cannot respond. So I have no one signed up to speak. I think Mr. Wirtz wanted to make a comment.
Thanks, Judge, for allowing me to finish up my notes here. Many of the people along River Oaks Drive and in the unincorporated area of Woodlock are off the radar. A large number were living in tents next to debris piles with children as roaches, rats, other animals roamed around. Some are still living in tents or in the cars. Many of these go to local schools. You can see the urgency on why to pick up these piles. FEMA was helpful to some in the beginning, but are basically gone from the area now. Though I hear there may be a Conroe office now, one previously had to go to Magnolia, even if you lived over in East County towards Kingwood area, from what I understand. Why not Conroe from the beginning? I was told by both regional directors, Roger Frauman, that's regional directors of FEMA, Roger Frauman, and then Rick Stiff, after Roger rotated out, that FEMA reports to you guys. They were both at River Oaks Drive several weeks ago, an indicator of how bad it is there. People are still mucking out and still need help picking up. Randy Roan was hired to supplement those trucks that were being hired away by Harris County and City of Houston, but he punted after 2 days, citing his company was only getting paid for 80% of a load while carrying out 100%. Debris set for another week, and pickup has been sporadic. Aside from him not having a servant's heart, what was that all about? In the course of this past Saturday morning, those staying in FEMA hotels thought they were going to have to leave by yesterday. I think we heard that earlier. Mr. Stiff verbally told me the date had been extended to October 23rd. I asked him to confirm that by text while I went by La Quinta, Shenandoah, where the MCTP will be doing a feed for over 200 FEMA evacuees tomorrow night. La Quinta said it had only been extended to the 9th of October. Mr. Stiff came back with the October 10th date on the text. All in the course of an hour, I had four different days and dates. People would have to move out. Can you imagine how an evacuee feels? The whole point of this is, after the last 2 years or two storms, I would expect better preparation. Yes, it may have been an 800-year event, but it wouldn't have mattered if it was a 10-year event because basic things like correct website addresses to go to was wrong. Sorry, but you guys got outfoxed by the City of Houston and Harris County on debris pickup, and then we can't even get the hotel relief dates correct, which are all pretty three critical items if you're an evacuee. Thank goodness for the first responders and fabulous volunteers throughout, or this would have been a bigger humanitarian crisis than what it already is. And to Interfaith for helping with rooms to fill in the gap for these people that have been living in tents that are not too scared to take advantage
Thank
of that.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, anyone else that would like to address the court? Would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Can't move in a second.
For an adjournment, you can't.